welcome to today's reading of the San Angelo Standard Times, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org. Hello, this is Michael reading the San Angelo Standard Times for the week of March 8th, 2020. Dickie's Barbecue closed in San Angelo, looking to reopen with new owner, by Rosanna Aguilera. Dickie's Barbecue Pit in San Angelo has had its doors closed for nearly a week, but they might not be gone for good. Since March 4th, Dickie's had a closed sign on the front door with the building emptied of tables and chairs. According to Greer Martin, spokesperson from Dickie's Barbecue Pit, the location isn't closed permanently. We're proud to have been a staple in the San Angelo community. However, this store recently transitioned owners, and it's with the dissolve of that brief partnership we are actively looking to reopen this location under new ownership. Police. San Angelo father took sons to lake, drank a six-pack while teaching them to drive. By Elena Edgen. A San Angelo father has been arrested after he admitted to drinking a six-pack while teaching sons younger than 12 years old how to drive at the lake, according to police documents. Around 5 p.m. Saturday, March 7th, a San Angelo police officer noticed a Chevrolet four-door pickup turn into oncoming traffic. The driver did not immediately pull over, but took an exit onto Southwest Boulevard before stopping in the 4200 block, records state. The officer approached the vehicle and noticed a strong odor of alcohol, according to the document. The driver said he had been drinking while at the lake with his sons, 11 and 12 years old. He admitted to drinking a six-pack of beer before getting pulled over and was teaching his sons how to drive while at the lake, according to the document. The man performed poorly on sobriety tests, police said. He had a 0.198 and a 0.199 blood alcohol concentration, according to the document. The legal limit in Texas is 0.08. Police arrested Bernardino Romano Tobias, 49, Saturday on suspicion of driving while intoxicated with children younger than 15 years old in the vehicle. He was released the next day on a $10,000 bond, according to online jail records. Driving while intoxicated with children younger than 15 in the vehicle is a state jail felony punishable by 180 days to 2 years in jail with a fine not to exceed $10,000. Need an April Fool's prank idea? This litter box cake might be an option, by Rosanna Aguilera. A San Angelo teen is making April Fool's cakes to raise money for a trip to Japan as part of a homeschooled field trip. Haven Brannon, 16, with the help of his mom, Kelly Brannon, is making April Fool's kitty litter box cakes to raise money for the trip. Haven has Asperger's syndrome, a form of autism, and generalized anxiety disorders, which is why he has been homeschooled since he was 9 years old. We try to do activities with groups, but it can be hard for him, Kelly said. I teach him basic life skills. This project helps him with baking, selling, and earning money. The high school language he's been learning for 2 years is Japanese. We are learning the language and the culture of Japan, Kelly said. It's a good educational trip for him, and he just wants to experience it for himself. They plan to take the backpacking trip in June 2021. The trip is $1,500 per person. We need $6,000 total, but we are just trying to get him to raise his part since he's the one begging for this trip, Kelly said. These humorous cakes come in a litter box and include litter scoop and feed 15 to 20 people. The Brannons will include free deliveries in the San Angelo area, as well as Wall, Grape Creek, and Carlsbad. Yes, they look disgusting, but they are delicious, Kelly said in a Facebook post. What a perfect gift to prank your boss or someone special with. The cakes cost $25 and can be pre-ordered by calling or texting Kelly at 325 716-7589. The deadline to place an order is Sunday, March 22nd. Kelly asks that you include your name, address, and cake flavor, chocolate or yellow, included in the text. We are not asking for a deposit, but trust that you will not place an order unless you are serious about paying for it at time of delivery, Kelly said. Kelly said they plan to keep baking as a way to earn money until the trip. We are doing St. Patrick's Day cupcakes right now and maybe Teacher Day cupcakes later, she said. It's just important to him to raise his money and experience this. San Angelo man arrested less than 24 hours after public asked to search for wanted person by Elena Edgen. A San Angelo man has been arrested one day after police asked for the public's help locating a suspect wanted in connection to a double forgery case, according to court records. Around 11:30 a.m. Friday, March 6th, the police and Crime Stoppers of San Angelo posted the man's photo and details on social media. The case involved two forged temporary driving permits written in June and October 2018, according to an indictment filed February 7th. The permits listed information for another San Angelo man and an Odessa woman. Just before 8 p.m. Saturday, police arrested Rondrick Andrew Murphy, 44, on suspicion of two counts of forging temporary driving permits. He was released from Tom Green County Jail on Sunday morning on a $20,000 bond, according to online jail records. A court date has not been set for Murphy as of 8:45 a.m. Monday, according to online records. The forgery charges are third-degree felonies, punishable by 2 to 10 years in prison, and a fine not to exceed $10,000. She's not on the run, mother of missing Cristoval woman says while searching for daughter, by Elena Edgen. In a wooded area near the Texas-Louisiana border, a search party for a missing Cristoval woman continues, scouring the location she was last seen by her boyfriend. The search picked up last week after a family of Annabelle Anna Bruton received an anonymous call stating she was beat up pretty bad. The 29-year-old Cristoval mother of three was last seen by her boyfriend February 26th near Kirbyville, a town roughly 130 miles northeast of Houston with a population of about 2,500. Her family reported her missing 2 days later and traveled to Kirbyville for the search. The last time Anna Bruton spoke with her family was early February 26th, the day she went missing. She spoke to her dad, and he could tell she was crying, said Gina Bruton, her mother, while she trekked through the wooded area Thursday, March 5th. We received an anonymous call March 4th that she was beat up pretty bad before she went missing, Gina Bruton said. The caller reported Anna had a crescent-shaped cut under her left eye. She didn't have that before. The caller did not say when they saw Anna Bruton. Many people believe Anna is running from arson charges related to an incident in Cristoval in December, but her mother says that's not the case. She's not on the run, Gina Bruton said. If she was, she'd contact her dad. She knows he would come and support her through the consequences. Gina Bruton, her husband, and several volunteers continued to search the area through the weekend. On Saturday evening, the search party discovered Anna's sweater. The lightly colored, open-front sweater was discovered by Vernon Bruton, Anna Bruton's father, in the wooded area she was last seen running into, according to Gina Bruton. Her cigarettes were still in the pocket, Gina Bruton said Saturday. Her family has started a GoFundMe account to raise reward money they would offer to anyone who gets them in touch with their daughter. If someone has information, they should call Jasper County Sheriff's Office at 409-384-5417 or her parents at 432-352-8732 or 432-889-9004. The family released more details about her daughter, including medical issues and physical marks that could help people identify her. Anna Bruton has hazel eyes, light brown hair, possibly dyed red, weighs 115 pounds, and is 5 feet 5 inches tall. Other identifying marks for her include a tattoo on her left arm that says Brianna with a heart and a flower, a tattoo on her ribs, and another on her left thigh. She had medication for her PTSD, which she had not been taking regularly, her mother said. She has been known to go by Anna Lowe and Anna Mallory. She also has a methamphetamine addiction and had trouble remembering times and dates, her mother said. Anna Bruton's three children were removed from her care recently by Child Protective Services and placed with her family, the mother said. Last person to see her discusses what she was going through. Law enforcement said the last person to see Anna Bruton was her boyfriend of around 8 months, Rodney Blankenship. On February 26th, the couple was in the area visiting Blankenship's family. At one point, Anna Bruton left his vehicle, leaving her suitcase and other personal items. Since her disappearance, Blankenship stated he felt scared, worried, sad, and broken, lost. She was depressed and mad, and we both knew that's not good, Blankenship said. She had court coming up for arson. CPS took her kids. Plus, she started getting depressed over Bryson, her son that passed away. Family members said Bryson died 3 years ago from sudden infant death syndrome and that Anna struggled with the loss. The arson charges stem from December 29th when she was accused of lighting a house on fire and recording it. They lived in the house, which was owned by her boyfriend's father. Law enforcement speaks on the investigation. The Jasper County Sheriff's Office has been investigating the disappearance since the report February 28th, according to Lieutenant John Cooper, investigator with the Jasper County Sheriff's Office. We think that she's just left without telling anyone where she's going, Cooper said in a previous interview. We're still looking for her. We don't suspect foul play. Cooper said Tuesday he believes Bruton is no longer in Jasper County, but anyone who knows her whereabouts should call the sheriff's office at 409-384-5417. Messages left with the department last week were not returned by 11 a.m. Monday, March 9th. Grind Brew and Cafe set to open in downtown San Angelo by Rosanna Aguilera. A new cafe is opening up in downtown San Angelo by three women hoping to add to the local business community. The Grind Brew and Cafe is located at 220A North Chadburn Street. They will serve coffee, natural smoothies, smoothie bowls, bagels, muffins, avocado toast, and more. The shop is run by Michelle Chapa, Mary Vega, and Leslie Medina, who are all equal owners. They will open from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, and 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday. The first official day is Saturday, March 7th. We wanted to make stuff like we eat out of town and can't find here, Chapa said. The coffee comes from Portland, and the bagels are shipped overnight from New York. The smoothies don't have any added sugars and can be customized with fruit, organic honey, chai seeds, coconut shavings, granola, and more. Diabetes is common in my family, and I wanted something they could enjoy, Vega said. I did all my research on ingredients. Chapa has owned the building for 3 years and was glad to find something to attract more people downtown. The other side of Chadburn is very busy, but once you get to the north side, it's barely building up, and we want to be a part of that, Chapa said. The owners said they are all about supporting other local businesses in San Angelo. It's not about competition, it's about community and growing this area, Vega said. San Angelo CPS investigator arrested, charged with possessing up to 4 grams of heroin by John Tufts. Deputies with the Tom Green County Sheriff's Office arrested an investigator with Child Protective Services in San Angelo on Thursday morning. The 40-year-old woman has been charged with allegedly possessing up to 4 grams of a controlled substance found during a narcotics investigation by the Street Crimes Division of the San Angelo Police Department, records state. Sources inside the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services said the substance officers found was heroin. The charge is a third-degree felony, punishable by up to 10 years in prison and a $10,000 fine, records state. Jessica Lorraine Treese has been employed with Texas DFPS since October 29, 2012. On March 3, 2020, police found between 1 to 4 grams of a controlled substance Treese allegedly had in her possession. After Justice of the Peace Eddie Howard issued a warrant for her arrest, Treese voluntarily turned herself in to sheriff's deputies at the Tom Green County Jail. At about 3:58 p.m., Treese was released from Tom Green County Jail on a $7,500 bond, according to online court records. As of 5 p.m. Thursday, officials said Treese is still considered an active employee with Child Protective Services in San Angelo while an internal review is conducted. I can confirm Treese still works for the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services at this time, said Paul Zimmerman, a DFPS spokesperson. Our human resources team is reviewing the situation, and termination is certainly an option in this case. Zimmerman said Treese was initially hired as a family-based safety services worker. Part of her responsibilities were to connect parents with resources in situations after children were removed from the parents' home. If parents needed help with counseling or in learning how to manage money or had substance abuse issues, a person in Treese's position would help connect them with whatever counseling services were needed, Zimmerman said. Treese has been working as a CPI investigator for Texas DFPS since August of 2019, according to Zimmerman. She currently does safety and risk assessments, Zimmerman said. Part of those responsibilities are to inspect homes to make sure children are in a safe environment. That includes making sure there are no illegal substances in the home, Zimmerman said. Officials with DFPS were unable to immediately confirm how many homes Treese has inspected in San Angelo during her time as an investigator, nor if Treese had recommended San Angelo children be removed from homes due to the presence of controlled substances. Officials were also unable to confirm whether Treese or other caseworkers and CPI investigators received mandatory or random drug screenings while employed at Texas DFPS. This story will be updated as more information becomes available. Here's an article that relates to the previous story. CPS to review San Angelo investigators' cases after heroin possession charge, by John Tufts. Officials with Child Protective Services in San Angelo say they will review and reassign dozens of child custody cases tied to a CPS investigator who was arrested Thursday on charges of possessing heroin. Jessica Lorraine Treese, 40, has been employed with the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services since October 29, 2012. Treese has worked as a CPI investigator for Texas DFPS since August 2019, according to Zimmerman. Her cases are being reassigned and reviewed, Zimmerman said. Treese is not allowed to do any investigation work at this time. Officials with DFPS said in fiscal year 2019, the average daily caseload per investigator was 13 cases. Including Treese, there are 13 CPS investigator positions in Tom Green County, according to Zimmerman. Drug testing not a CPS hiring requirement, officials said. Investigators and caseworkers with Child Protective Services are not drug tested upon being hired, according to officials. We do not do drug testing at hiring, but can request a drug test for an employee at any time if there is a concern they're using, Zimmerman said. While working as a CPI investigator between August 2019 until March, Treese was responsible for doing safety and risk assessments in homes across Tom Green County. Part of those responsibilities were to inspect homes to make sure children are in a safe environment. That includes making sure there are no illegal substances in the home, Zimmerman said. Officials with DFPS were unable to confirm how many homes Treese inspected in Tom Green County during her time as an investigator, nor were they able to confirm if Treese recommended San Angelo children be removed from homes due to the presence of controlled substances. Officials with DFPS said they were unaware of any discussion at this time to change drug testing policies at Child Protective Services in light of Treese's arrest. San Angelo bakery employees not injured after pickup hit store, by Elena Edgen and Rosanna Aguilera. Three employees of a San Angelo bakery continued their shift like every morning when they heard something collide with a wall. "We were just standing right there. It sounded like a bomb," said Yvonne Anderson, an employee at the Marquez Bakery, 2101 Benficklin Road, Number A. Around 9:45 a.m. Tuesday, police reported a vehicle had struck the bakery. Investigators discovered a white Ford Ranger pickup ran over a stop sign on Gunter Street, then collided with the bakery, causing part of a wall to fall into the shop, according to SAPD Traffic Division Officer Joshua Loudermilk. The driver, a man, was transported to Shannon Hospital with unknown injuries. Police are investigating. By 10:15 a.m., employees were clearing up the rubble inside the bakery. Three employees were in the building when the pickup truck hit, and none were injured. Police: San Angelo man shot at apartment complex by acquaintance. Investigation begins, by Rosanna Aguilera. San Angelo detectives are investigating a shooting that happened early Monday morning at an apartment complex, according to a news release. Police were dispatched to the Arden Ridge Apartments, 3801 Arden Road, around 2 a.m. Monday, March 9th, for the report of a shooting victim. The preliminary investigation revealed a male suspect shot a 24-year-old San Angelo man. They are believed to be acquaintances. The victim was transported to a nearby hospital for treatment of non-life-threatening injuries, the release stated. Detectives with the department's Criminal Investigations Division are investigating the shooting. This is an active investigation, and no further information is available. Police had reported no arrests as of 3 p.m. Tuesday. If you have information about the incident or video from the immediate area, please call 325-657-4315. To remain anonymous, text TIPSAPD to 888-777 and follow the prompts. San Angelo Central graduate chosen as contestant for new season of The Bachelorette, by Rosanna Aguilera. A man with San Angelo ties was chosen to be part of the newest season of ABC's The Bachelorette, airing in May 2020. The show's Facebook page began announcing the contestants March 11th, where a San Angelo graduate was found on the roster. Miles Gully is a 27-year-old who graduated from Central High School in 2011, according to his Facebook. He was also a former Wall Hawk. Gully spent 2 years at Western Texas College, where he was a pitcher for their baseball team. He spent his last 2 years of playing college ball at Angelo State University, where he was a left-handed pitcher, according to Angelo Sports. Gully graduated in 2015 from ASU, then studied mechanical engineering at Texas Tech University and graduated in 2018. 2 years later, he finds himself as a contestant on the next season of The Bachelorette. The 16th season airs May 18, 2020 on ABC, where Claire Crawley will be looking for love with one of 32 men, including Gully. San Angelo man indicted in fatal stabbing of Raheem Talton faces enhanced charge by Alana Edgen. Almost 2 months after a 26-year-old man died from a stab wound, a San Angelo man received an indictment this month in the homicide, records state. Around 1 a.m. January 26, 2020, two men had an altercation at a Stripes convenience store in the 1300 block of South Bryant Boulevard. A surveillance video captured the confrontation and fatal stabbing. Raheem Talton, 26, was seen approaching a man in a light-colored hooded sweatshirt and dark stocking cap, according to an arrest affidavit. The man, later identified as 47-year-old Roberto Arambula, pushes Talton and then is seen making thrusts towards Talton. Talton died at Shannon Medical Center from stab wounds to the left side of his chest, records state. The video also caught audio of a woman calling the man in the cap Robert, and a crime analyst was able to match photos of Arambula to the case, the affidavit states. A warrant for Arambula's arrest was issued January 27th, and Tom Green County Sheriff's Office deputies found him less than 24 hours later, records state. Tom Green County Sheriff's Office deputies booked Arambula, 47, on January 28th into Tom Green County Jail on suspicion of murder. He remained in the jail in lieu of a $500,000 bond as of 11 a.m. Wednesday, March 11th, according to online jail records. An indictment filed March 5th lists the murder charge as enhanced to a habitual offender. The habitual offender edition details that Arambula was convicted for burglary of a building December 15th, 1989, and theft on July 13, 1992. Murder is a first-degree felony punishable by 5 to 99 years in jail and a fine not to exceed $10,000. Search continues for woman in connection to the homicide. The San Angelo police also issued a call for help, finding a woman they believe is connected to the stabbing. Veronica Michelle Gonzalez is 5'2" and 140 pounds with brown hair and brown eyes, according to online jail records. Gonzalez is under indictment for suspicion of possessing between 4 grams and 200 grams of methamphetamine and cocaine in April 2016. There is another possession charge for marijuana between 4 ounces and 5 pounds, according to online court documents. City Survey Seeks Input on Capital Improvement Projects by Lorelei Day, City of San Angelo. According to a news release from the City of San Angelo, officials are seeking public input on projects to be included or prioritized in the updated capital improvement plan. Citizens can share their thoughts via a short online form posted on the city's website at COSATX.US/CIP input. The survey will be open through March 24th. The feedback will help the City Council in considering and passing the 2020 through 25 Capital Improvement Plan. The plan prioritizes how the city addresses large capital needs. Projects must have a useful life of at least 3 years, cost more than $25,000, and require at least 6 months to complete. There are 85 CIP projects either underway or proposed to begin by 2024. The city charter requires that a 5-year CIP be published and available to citizens. The plan can be read in hard copy form at City Hall, 72 West College Avenue, or online at COSATX.US/CIP. Once the City Council approves the plan, it will help inform decisions in the 2021 budget. For more information about the CIP or the input process, contact City Budget Manager Kimberly Hawley at 325-657-4211. Shannon offers online service to diagnose potential coronavirus cases by Elena Edgen. Shannon Medical Center announced an online service that could help coronavirus patients get diagnosed while not exposing the public, according to a Shannon press release. The service, Shannon On Demand, is a free online screening tool for Concho Valley residents who are concerned they may have been exposed to the coronavirus and are suffering from mild to moderate flu-like symptoms. This resource allows patients to remain in their homes, minimizing the risk of spreading the virus or coming into contact with others who may be symptomatic, said Chris Barnett, chief medical officer at Shannon. Users will be able to talk through video chat with a healthcare provider through a mobile device or a computer. It is available online 24/7. People will be asked about their symptoms and travel history. If the healthcare provider determines the patient needs further evaluation, they will connect the patient to an urgent care clinic or emergency department. State and local health officials will be made aware, according to Barnett. People can go to shannonondemand.com or download the mobile app on Apple or Google Play app stores. Users will need to create an account by following the prompts. Use the code Shannon COVID-19 at the payment screen to get the free screening. As of 10 a.m. Wednesday, March 11th, there were no confirmed cases of coronavirus in the Concho Valley, according to Sandra Villarreal, the Health Services Director of San Angelo. GameStop closing in Sunset Mall. Store is up to 50% off in sales, by Rosanna Aguilera. The GameStop in the San Angelo Sunset Mall is set to close at the end of the month. There is no specific date when the shop at 4001 Southwest Boulevard, number 1206, will close, but a manager said it will be toward the end of March. The manager declined to comment on why the store is closing. The entire store is 20 to 50% off all items. Fixtures, furniture, and equipment are also for sale. This is the only location closing in San Angelo. The other store at 4213 Sunset Drive will remain open. No Limit Monster Trucks and Thrill Show, bringing Transformer Wars and Races to San Angelo. The No Limit Monster Trucks and Thrill Show event is bringing motorcycle racing, kids' power wheel races, and even Transformer Wars to San Angelo. The event, hosted by HEB, is scheduled for 7 to 10 p.m. Saturday, March 14th at Foster Communications Coliseum, 50 East 43rd Street. Here is a list of shows that will be presented. No Limit Monster Trucks. There will be a monster truck wheelie contest, racing, freestyle, and more. The San Angelo Coliseum will be a battleground, according to the event's website. Motorcycle flat track racing. Amateur and professional riders will race elbow to elbow during this event. This is the first time in over 20 years these popular racers have been to San Angelo, according to the event's website. For more information or to reserve tickets, call 940-683-4742 from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. Transformer Wars. Participants will see the ultimate battle between Reptar and Galactron. Two Mad Max vehicles transform into 30-foot-tall, rocket-firing, flame-throwing, robotic fighting machines, the website stated. Tough Truck Racing. Local and area drivers will compete in the Tough Truck Racing segment. Drivers will have two attempts to better their course time. Watch them bump and bang, and no one is backing off, the website stated. You must bring your vehicle to the venue's rear entrance for racer sign-up. No one younger than 14 can be a driver or on the pit crew. To reserve a spot or for more information, call 940-683-4742. Kids Power Wheel Races. Kids will drive their own Power Wheel racers on a safe and fun track, competing against others in their age groups. Ages 3 to 7 are allowed to enter. Parents must provide the child's 6 or 12-volt racer and any safety equipment they desire. Entries are free in this event. To reserve a spot or for more information, call 940-683-4742. Monster Truck Ride. Guests can ride in a real monster truck for an extra fee. Rides will start when the doors open and during intermission after the show. Free Pit Party. For VIP box seat holders, there will be a free pit party before the doors open. They will get to see all the trucks up close and meet the drivers. Where to find tickets? Discounted tickets can be found on StubWire and at Blair's Western Wear, 4230 Sherwood Way. Tickets are $28 for reserved VIP box seats. General admission tickets are $24 for adults and $12 for kids. All adult prices go up $2 at the gate on the day of the show. The box office opens at 5 p.m. before the show. Group tickets are available for parties of 9 or more. San Angelo cyclists arrested after report of mail theft leads to narcotics, by Elena Edgen. Police arrested a pair of San Angelo cyclists Tuesday night after a report of mail theft led to the discovery of methamphetamine, according to an SAPD news release. Around 11:30 p.m. Tuesday, March 10th, police responded to the 2300 block of Dallas Street for the report of a man and woman riding bicycles and stealing mail from mailboxes, according to the release. Officers located the duo near Garfield and Dallas Streets. The woman lied about her identity and gave officers an identification card that did not belong to her, the release states. Police also found suspected methamphetamine and discovered she had 3 outstanding warrants. The man had an outstanding warrant for violating parole and suspected methamphetamine and marijuana, according to jail records. Both cyclists had multiple pieces of mail, opened and unopened, belonging to various people. They also had handwritten notes containing personal identifying information and banking information. Michael Don Guevara, 31, was arrested on suspicion of possessing methamphetamine, possessing marijuana, and a warrant. He remained in Tom Green County Jail in lieu of a $12,500 bond as of 5 p.m. Wednesday, March 11th, according to online jail records. Officers arrested Yesenia Vera, 28, on suspicion of possessing methamphetamine, failure to identify as a fugitive from justice, and some warrants. She remained in jail in lieu of an $8,000 bond as of 5 p.m. Wednesday, according to online jail records. Additional charges are pending. The Criminal Investigations Division is investigating and will be in contact with the victims to return items in the coming weeks, according to the release. The police department is also asking for anyone with surveillance video of the pair to reach out to the department at 325-657-4264 and reference case number 2020-3478. San Angelo police identify man in connection to apartment shooting, asks public for help, by Elena Edgen. San Angelo police have identified a man and issued a warrant in connection to the Monday Arden Ridge apartment shooting, according to a police news release. Around 2 a.m. Monday, March 9th, police responded to a 24-year-old male shooting victim at Arden Ridge Apartments, 3801 Arden Road. Investigators believed an altercation between the 24-year-old and an acquaintance led to the shooting, according to the release. Less than 48 hours later, police issued an arrest warrant for Michael Gabriel Sanchez, 21, on suspicion of aggravated assault with deadly weapon. Sanchez is accused of shooting the man, according to police. Sanchez is described as 5 feet 9 inches tall, weighing 135 pounds. He has black hair and brown eyes. Police are considering him armed and dangerous. Anyone with information on his whereabouts should call the San Angelo Police Department at 325-657-4315. To remain anonymous, text TIP SAPD to 888-777 and follow the prompts. Coronavirus brings uncertainty to ag sector, by Adam Russell, special to the San Angelo Standard Times. Uncertainty surrounding the spread of coronavirus has Texas cotton producers in limbo regarding their crop options for 2020, according to a Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service expert. John Robinson, Ph.D., AgriLife Extension, Cotton Marketing Specialist, College Station, said cotton prices have been dropping due to the disease's effects on global production, manufacturing, and consumption. The ripple effect of coronavirus on the global supply chain and U.S. imports and exports is spreading, he said. The human toll is evident, but there is also a lot of disruption to commerce, including cotton, Robinson said. You've got hundreds of millions of people in Asia who are staying at home. That affects everything from ships not being unloaded to textile manufacturing and consumption. The National Cotton Council's prospective planting surveys suggested growers would plant 13 million acres of cotton in 2020, but prices have plunged since. Prices fell 3 to 5 cents per pound in a week as the U.S. stock market dropped 1,000 points per day for 3 consecutive days, he said. On February 27th, cotton futures were down to 64 cents per pound. Robinson said the average producer needs cotton futures prices to be around the mid-70 mark for any possibility of profit. The recent U.S. Department of Agriculture cotton outlook adjusted U.S. planting expectations to 12.5 million acres, but Robinson said the extent of the coronavirus outbreak could mean further price drops and more producers looking for other planting options. Robinson said 5.4 million bales of cotton may carry over from the 2019 growing season, which is similar to the previous marketing year. However, typical price rallies on cotton futures, which occur March through May during planting season, seem to be in jeopardy. I've never seen it like this, he said. How the information is changing week to week on the prices and acreage outlooks shows the uncertainty regarding how far and wide coronavirus could spread. Robinson said conversations with cotton growers suggests they're not ready to commit to a crop due to the uncertainty, but options are limited for many growers in parts of the state. Cotton acres have increased north of Amarillo over the last several years, he said. Those acres switched from corn because of irrigation limits and better cotton prices. Cotton is more tolerant to drier conditions, and prices helped that trend, he said. But now you have a lot of farmers who have invested in cotton equipment, and there's been investment in gins, so this has some growers in a difficult spot. Many dryland growers will have even fewer options because wheat and sorghum prices aren't any better, he said. It may come down to which decision will lose less money, he said. We're hoping the coronavirus will be a short-term problem and that there will be some positive news as we move through the planting season. But right now, the unknown has everything in limbo. New San Angelo business offers sewing classes while you sip on specialty drinks. By Rosanna Aguilera. A new San Angelo business is teaching the basics of sewing while providing the opportunity to sip on specialty beverages as you learn. Sorority House, owned by seamstress and fashion designer Unika Christian, hosts basic sewing parties for kids and adults called Sip and Sews. Sip and Sews are great for birthdays, girls' night out, or any occasion where you might want to add a little fun and creativity, Christian said. You create a simple sewing project to take away with you at the end of the event, all while enjoying a sip of wine, coffee, tea, lemonade, chocolate, or some kind of delectable specialty beverage. Sewing projects will consist of beginner-friendly creations such as glam pillows, knot bags, basic tote bags, or even pleated skirts. Christian will post on the business's Facebook page when there is an event coming up. People can sign up and prepay for events or book private parties by emailing sororityhouse, seworitychouse, @gmail.com. The two-hour parties are all-inclusive with sewing machines, fabric, supplies, and beverages provided. Sorority House doesn't have a physical address in San Angelo, so Christian hosts events at different venues around the city. What was the inspiration for your business name? I love to sew, I love design, and I love fashion. I especially enjoy the camaraderie that a sip and sew party creates. A sewing fashion sisterhood of sorts. There is bonding, relating, and friendships blossoming at the Sip and Sew. Therefore, the name Sorority House seemed perfect. I credit the name to my customer and friend, Jessica Jones. Best business advice you've received. How do you eat an elephant? One piece at a time. Building a business is, by far, huge and can seem unbelievably overwhelming. However, it takes a lot off your shoulders when you think of it as eating an elephant. Build your business one piece at a time. For me, this was great advice. It helps me to see the project or challenge in parts as opposed to one huge mountain. Worst business advice you've received. The worst advice I received was from non-entrepreneurs, non-business owners, and people who had no clue what it meant to build a business. Listening to the advice of these individuals were often mistakes. For example, if you've never had a baby, it would be hard for you to talk to someone about the process of being pregnant, as opposed to someone who has experienced it firsthand. That only makes sense to me. I picked San Angelo as a business location because, as it turned out, my husband received a new job opportunity here in San Angelo, working with the fire department. We moved here only a few months ago from Dallas. Since being here in San Angelo, I have found that people appear to be very open to the idea of Sip and Sew. The atmosphere here has been very friendly and hospitable, which makes me feel confident that bringing my love for sewing and fashion to this area can be successful. I am looking forward to more opportunities to host sewing classes and sip and sew parties. Entrepreneurship can be a lonely place. What helps you with that? Honestly, being around other entrepreneurs is a key thing for me. You are around other individuals who are going through the same ups and downs and struggles as you are as a business owner. It's an opportunity for you to find support and root for each other. I have been so blessed and fortunate to find people who are willing to offer support and wisdom to me, which only makes me want to pay it forward to the next person who may be seeking advice or support as they build their empire. Grab a free cone at Dairy Queen on the first day of spring. By Rosanna Aguilera. Texas Dairy Queens are giving away a free cone to every customer on March 19th while supplies last. On Thursday, March 19th, DQ customers can celebrate spring's arrival with a free small cone. As much as we'd like to give away a bunch of free cones to everybody forever, we have to draw the line somewhere, a news release stated. So we're limiting the free giveaway to one cone per customer, and needless to say, but we'll say it anyway, while supplies last. Fans can share their Free Cone Day photos on social media using the hashtag Free Cone Day. If you want more free treats, you can upload your photos to the Dairy Queen Texas Facebook page under Your DQ Moments. If your photo is selected, you could win a $10 DQ gift card. We're proud of our iconic brand status, the release stated. Long before social media, TDQ, Texas Dairy Queen, has been the place for Texans to connect with each other and make memories. San Angelo Dairy Queen locations, 3006 Knickerbocker Road, 5225 Sherwood Way. Community Medical Center continues advancements in patient care. By Rod Schumacher, San Angelo Community Medical Center. San Angelo Community Medical Center is committed to providing quality patient care in a safe, responsible, and efficient manner to help support the medical needs of Tom Green County residents. Our quality of care is recognized with 4 stars on the CMS Hospital Compare website. Our high patient care standards are set and delivered by the skilled and compassionate physicians, medical staff, and employees on our team. We continue to actively recruit physicians to match the growing needs of the community. San Angelo Community Medical Center offers convenient access to care for patients, including centralized patient scheduling call centers, one-call same-day access to primary care, extended hours for pediatric patients, and walk-in clinics with extended hours open 363 days a year. Technology helps our patients connect with their care with text message appointment reminders and patient portals to access their personal medical records. All areas are patient care focused, especially Community Joint Center, which employs a fast-track philosophy. The central goal since the implementation of the Joint Center 5 years ago is to have patients on their feet and moving in a short amount of time. The sooner therapy begins, the sooner patients are on their feet, minimizing risks for complications. Among the specialized services we offer are a Level 2 neonatal intensive care unit with a full-time neonatologist to provide critical care to newborns and a Level 3 trauma center to handle emergency medical needs. San Angelo Community Medical Center continues to advance medical care for the region. We were the first to introduce robotic-assisted surgery to our community. The advanced equipment gives general surgeons, urologists, gynecologists, and orthopedic surgeons the ability to perform minimally invasive surgeries, which can reduce patient time in the hospital and aids in a quicker recovery. We are the only hospital locally offering robotic-assisted single-site gallbladder surgery. Our dedicated caregivers and staff are committed to providing the highest quality of care for our community 24/7. We are grateful for the continued trust our patients and our community place in us. Rob Schumacher is the CEO of San Angelo Community Medical Center. And now here from the opinion pages of the San Angelo Standard-Times are a few letters to the editor. Reader, the Democratic Party is everything it claims Trump to be. Honesty and integrity must be the basis for all publications. This falsification and deliberate distortion in the media is an ethical violation of the principle of truth on which the profession should be based. The Democratic Party is everything it claims President Donald Trump to be. Monopolistic, corporate globalists are using democratic socialists and their angry, hate-filled discrimination, lies. Democrats are their patsy. They have worked hard at crushing the prosperity of the American workers, stripping them of their pride and their ability to support themselves, forcing Americans to take handouts. President Trump has brought back his prosperity and pride for the U.S. citizens, and he will continue to work for all Americans. Americans first, faith, family, and freedom. President Trump and his administration have made America great again. There was no crime committed by President Trump. The crime was the Democratic House sending ridiculous articles of impeachment to the Senate. Read the copy of the phone call. Acquittal was no surprise. The Democrats know precisely what kind of damage they have done and continue to inflict upon the citizens of the United States. The truth will prevail over all who have so many political crimes to hide. Donald Trump, Yang, once a Democratic candidate for president, bravely declared, "He is not the cause of all of our problems, and we are making a mistake when we act like he is." The crowd erupted in a roaring applause. This should tell you something. By R. Martin and J. Roach, San Angelo. Reader, U.S. approach to Mexico leaves people hungry while lying to us. The 500-plus geniuses in Washington, D.C., continue to allow Mexico and its residents to suffer with starvation while we continue for half a century to import their protein to the U.S. Mexico has many problems, but their poor not being able to feed themselves has been the worst. In turn, Mexico citizens sneak over to where they are able to feed themselves and family. The 500-plus geniuses attempted to fix the problem with law enforcement and miles of border fencing. That, in a nutshell, has been the U.S.-Mexico plan for half a century, and I want some of the D.C. geniuses to take credit for it. Proving I am a stickler for giving credit where it is due, which geniuses deserve credit for imported protein from 20 nations, beef and pork, sold in American stores today, not only being labeled as 1930 Tariff Act and ensuing labeling laws, but today a lying label is allowed product of USA. Going from half century of lying by omission, American consumers assuming American products in American stores, to a lying label proves some DC geniuses need to be given credit. For it to continue, all 536 in DC can take the credit. By James Stotts, Lano. Reader, Democrats' agenda would make us slaves to government. There was a recent letter to the editor berating the Republican conservatives for not going along with the Democratic ticket. The answer is, Democrats wish to repeal our right to own firearms, raise taxes beyond the people's means to pay and live, and control freedom of speech. The socialist branch wants the government to own and control everything, including property, jobs, and lives. In aggregate, I think they want to control doctors and our health, so we will all owe our lives to the government. All of these are contrary to conservative beliefs. So you go ahead and say we have our heads up our behinds. You be a slave, not me. Walker Mason, San Angelo. Reader, cost of Democratic leadership too high. The Democratic Party are determined to win the presidential election in November. They now have Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, Mike Bloomberg as the leaders who want to sit in the White House. If they do what they want to turn Americans into a socialist nation whose main goal is to enslave the citizens and do away with press and media, also, the equality of all races and religions and our rights and liberties and government of the people, for the people, and by the people, which has made America the leader of the free world. The liberal Democrats don't understand that socialism has never worked and never will, evidenced by the communist nations all over the world. If a Democrat is elected as president, and if they take the Senate also, America will have to pay the high price for all the rights and liberties we enjoy in this day and age. They want free health care, education in our universities, and change the Social Security system. In my estimation, the price that we will have to pay is way beyond what next year's IRS taxes will bring in. I encourage each person who reads this to vote because America's future is at stake. James Glass, Eden. Reader, I'm amazed West Texans support president. I'm really amazed at my fellow West Texans who have given up their claim to decency and honesty by backing the lying maniac in the White House who is determined to destroy democracy and our environment. Please get your heads out of your rear ends. Thomas L. Everidge Miles. Thank you for joining us for the reading of the San Angelo Standard-Times. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.